Castle takes the snap, whips it out to Cordero Patterson to the right side, gets a great block from Matt Asiata, and Cordero gets loose at the 40 to the Ravens 50,
oh,
and Cordero Patterson is gone! Wow! It's a 79-yard screen pass touchdown, Cordero Patterson!
It's X's and O's with head coach Mike Zimmer on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. X's and O's is presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Now, from Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
What's going on? Indeed, Paul Allen, play-by-play guy for the Minnesota Vikings with Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. Thanks to Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. This is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer. First, congratulations on the victory over the weekend.
Thank you. It's good to get a win, and actually two in a row, and we're trying to get number three.
Got the Lions this weekend. We'll talk about that momentarily, plus a dissect Vikings football with the head coach. But it was interesting. Jerry Kill, Big Ten Coach of the Year, coach of the Golden Gophers football team. He blew the Galler horn before the game. He was at the game. And you have some college football experience, too. Did you get a chance to talk to Jerry? And just from afar, what kind of season do you think he and his Gophers had?
Well, I did not get a chance to talk to him. I've talked to him in the past since I've been here. And, you know, he's done a great job at the University of Minnesota. It's congratulations to him for being Big Ten Coach of the Year. And, you know, he's a tremendous football coach. He's done a great job everywhere he's ever been, Northern Illinois and here and all over.
Mike, it might seem like a couple of lifetimes ago, but you did coach in college football at one point. What are the biggest differences between working in college football and working in the pros outside of the first and the 15th?
Really, football-wise, it's not that much different. You know, it's all about 11 guys and techniques and playing the right place and doing the right things. And, you know, the off season is different because of the recruiting and monitoring the schedules and classes for the players and that kind of thing. But football, when it gets down, when you get between the white lines, it's pretty much football.
Were you a little salty after the Jets win? And if so, for what reason?
Well, I was just disappointed that we played a little bit sloppy. I thought that we should have played better than that. My expectation level was higher than what it showed in the, especially the second and third quarters. You know, I'm really trying to build something here that is going to be special, and I don't want to have us coming out on Sunday afternoon, which is the biggest day of the week for us, to come out on Sunday afternoon and not perform up to what I think our ability level is.
When you feel like that after games, Mike, is there ever a moment Sunday night, maybe Monday, where you look at, you know, it doesn't matter how you get to the winner's circle sometimes, just as long as you get there, then you correct things, which clearly you're very good at, and then you move on to the next game?
Well, yeah, the most important thing is getting a win. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, they're hard to come by in this league. But I want to have a standard of excellence that we have around here, and so we'll continue to make corrections. And it's always easier to point out these kind of things after win than it is after a loss.
What are the Vikings doing after some or during some victories where when you watch it back or immediately after watching it live, it makes you happy? You're relatively satisfied. What's happening?
Well, I think when we give great effort, I think we can test the ball when we don't have penalties, when we knock people off the line of scrimmage on offense, when we continue to take care of the football, which we've been doing very well. You know, really a lot of the fundamental things that when you come in and you want to teach and develop as you get going. But a lot of it's about technique and playing more physical and more fast and more emotional than the other football team.
Your quarterback truly seemed to be inches away from a four-touchdown game in that Jets game. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, he played very well all day. You know, he continues to get better each and every week. He's a great kid, and he wants to work on every situation. He wants to work and get better at every day in practice. You know, I don't think he even wants to season the end. I think he'd like to go keep playing until the next year.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, X's and O's. With Teddy, his study habits, does he seem to be a scholar of the game? Like when offensive meetings are taking place and he has his iPad or whatever, is he how well does he absorb things and is he asking questions, stuff like that?
Oh, he's great, and he carries that iPad with him all the time. He practices the communication in the iPad, the checks, the everything that he sees when he's out on the practice field. He continues to after he makes a pass, he'll think about where the next check down would be or where the next progression in the route would be. All the different things, and you can really see the progression that he's made from early on in the season till now, and in the things that he's doing in that way.
Mike, what's the dynamic in game between your offensive coordinator Norv Turner and his son and quarterbacks coach Scott Turner? How do they work during games to help you guys win?
Well, they really work hand in hand and very closely. And Norv, a lot of times Norv will start with a play and Scott will finish it. You know, the wording of the play, but they're both, you know, they've been doing this for a long time and they're on the same wavelength, and so they really do a good job. And if Norv kind of stumbles around him for a minute, then Scott jumps in there and he says, what about this or what about that?
So it seems like Scott definitely has aspirations to be maybe an offensive coordinator one day. Is that fair to say?
I'm sure he does. He's you know, he knows the offense very well. He understands defenses and schemes and quarterbacks.
Do Scott and or your son and linebackers coach Adam ever say dad during the course of the workday? Dad, it's an 8-man box. We have to do this. I mean, Norv, it's an 8-man box.
Yeah, Adam doesn't usually say dad, so I don't know how much Scott is, but not that much.
Speaking of defense, what are some of the hardest aspects of playing defense in this day and age of the National Football League?
Well, you know, quite honestly, one of the things that's been going on in the NFL now, I've got a few pet peeves, but one of them, since they've moved the umpire back behind the offense now, the offensive line is holding like crazy, and so that's why the running totals all throughout the league are up. The other thing is that all these blocking downfields while the ball is in the air, the officials are saying they can't officiate it even though it's supposed to be a penalty. And then the way that they're the pass interference and the illegal contacts are going on. So those make it the biggest three challenges, in my opinion, to play defensive football in the NFL.
Is that something you bring up with the competition committee in the offseason?
Well, I didn't when I was a rookie head coach, but this offseason I will definitely bring it up.
How do you, against the Detroit Lions, what are some routes to getting explosive when you put a quarterback on a 3 and/or 5 step drop? And I'm not saying the 7 step drop is eliminated because your offensive line has had some injury and stuff like that, but is it possible to get explosive 20 yards or more on a 3 and/or 5 step drop?
Well, there definitely is, and a lot of the times it's how the corners are playing, how the safeties are playing. If they're sitting on routes, if they're keeping their eyes in the backfield, if they're keeping their eyes on the quarterback, you know, and then there's other ways to get to it when you get in different formations, you get guys confused, or you get some different level routes.
Any idea what happened to Blair Walsh in the game against the Jets, specifically on the potential game winner? Did he kind of hit the ground and the ball at the same time?
No, you know, a lot of times he's going to nick the ground as they kick. They all do, and you know, I just think he mishit it, and you know, it was fortunate that we won the football game.
What do you think in the offseason is an important facet for Cordarrelle Patterson to attack? Like, what can he do in the offseason to get back in the good graces of the staff and maybe play more?
Well, Cordarrelle is not in the bad graces of the staff, first of all, but you know, I think the thing, and Cordarrelle and Norv and myself are going to sit down and talk after the season, and really I'd like to keep that conversation between us on the things that he needs to do.
With this week, Xavier Rhodes and Calvin Johnson, do you expect they'll be one-on-one much? I mean, certainly not asking you to divulge the game plan, but from a football fan standpoint, with the way Xavier's played this year, Calvin might be the best in the game. Sure, it'd be nice to see them one-on-one occasionally.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the fans would love to see that. You know, we don't really want to be one-on-one with Calvin Johnson very much at any point in a ball game, so we're just going to continue to do what we do and try and do better.
Is getting pressure on Matthew Stafford maybe the biggest key to winning this game?
Well, it's very important. They do a great job in screens. They throw about 5 screens a game. They threw 7 against us in the first ball game. They're doing a good job in the running game. Bell has been a very strong runner. And then they spread you out with Bush and Golden Tate. So the more that we can get pressure on the quarterback and get them behind schedule is awful big. And, you know, if you can get some tip balls, some balls in the air, and those things tend to go a long way.
Last one. Sadly, Jerick McKinnon's season comes to a conclusion with a back injury. Now that it's over, look back at Jerick's season. Rookie from Georgia Southern, running the triple option. Adrian's gone. Now he's the featured guy. How did Jerick do this year overall?
Well, I think Jerick came in and did a great job. He's very, very sharp, learning a new position. He added a lot of explosiveness to the offense for not being a running back before. And like you say, a lot of things were heaped onto him early in the season that he probably didn't expect. He probably expected to be more of a change of pace back, a third down back here and there. And he had the opportunity to be a featured back. And the good thing about it was when he had the opportunity, he took advantage of it.
Fun game this week, and can't wait to watch it. Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings. Thanks to Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. When we return, Minnesota Vikings wide receivers coach George Stewart joins us to talk about Cordarrelle Patterson, Jarius Wright, Charles Johnson, Greg Jennings, and more. I'm Paul Allen. This is X's and O's with Mike Zimmer all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network. Receivers left and right. Bridgewater looks at the 3-4 jet set. First and 10 from the 44. Jets lead 9-7. Bridgewater takes the snap. He pumps, steps up in the pocket. It's a deep shot, and the man's there. It's caught. Charles Johnson, 10-5, touchdown! Teddy to Charles Johnson, and the Vikings reclaim the lead. Three receivers right, one left. Teddy, shotgun, big blitz, fires right to Jarius Wright on the screen. Gets loose at the 15. He's to the 25-30. And Jarius Wright is loose! 30-20, game-winning touchdown! From 87 yards out, and the Vikings walk off winners! Welcome back to X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. And joining us now is Minnesota Vikings wide receivers coach George Stewart. You just heard a 56-yard touchdown from Teddy Bridgewater to Charles Johnson, followed by the game-winning 87-yard score, Teddy Bridgewater to Jarius Wright. The Vikings have won two consecutive games and most recently defeated the New York Jets. Now the team hooks the Detroit Lions. That one kicks off at 3:25 Central. What's going on there, George? How you doing?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you?
Good to see you, man. Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you. A good team effort by our football team.
Jarius Wright with the game winner. Take us through it.
Jarius Wright has come on as of late. You know, this is his second 100-yard day in terms of catching the football, but he did an outstanding job on the route. He broke a tackle, but I tell you what, Greg Jennings and Kyle Rudolph did an outstanding job blocking for him.
Oh, you having come here with Brad Childress in 2006 and right. Then working with Leslie Frazier and now working with Mike Zimmer, I believe the multiple 100-yard performance by receivers, Charles Johnson and Jarius Wright, I believe, strangely, that's the first time the Vikings have done that since 2006.
Right.
When you hear that, what's your reaction, and what do you think the reason is?
Well, I would have thought that when Brett was here with Percy and Sidney, we would have had one as well. But, you know, I think the last group that did that was Nate Burleson and Randy Moss.
Yep.
But in terms of Jarius and CJ, both of those guys work extremely hard. Teddy did a great job of finding those guys. But it's surprising. Well, look at the quarterbacks we had. That we've had here in the previous years. Yep. I would have hoped that would have happened before now.
Let's get nostalgic for a second. Back in 2009, that season with Brett Favre, Percy Harvin's rookie of the year, Sidney Rice doing his thing,
right.
Adrian Peterson with a great season, Vasante Shanko, the tight end, with a fantastic right. season. A lot of big names on that team, too, including defensively the likes of Kevin Williams, Jared Allen, E.J. Henderson, Antoine Winfield, and so on. That 2009 season, what do you remember about it?
I remember it was a special season. I remember going into it and not knowing Brett Favre. And having a chance to see him up close and in person, the mindset and the work ethic that he had. But he had a young receiver like Percy Harvin and Sidney Rice with Shanko, the guys that you mentioned, and just seeing them grow as football players.
With Brett Favre in that 2009 season, including every place you've been as a coach, Is that the best season by a quarterback that you've ever seen?
Absolutely. And I told him that several times since. It's just a pleasure to have an opportunity to be on the boundary and see him on your side for once.
When it comes to natural leadership skills, and Teddy Bridgewater, through, I believe, 9 starts, seems to have that inherent born leader, natural leadership quality. But don't you just wish, as an offensive coach, as long as you've been, that you could bottle up that natural leadership Brett Favre has and, like, instill it in everybody?
Well, I just think everybody is different. Brett has his own way of leading. Teddy has his own way of leading. And you watch Teddy Bridgewater as a collegiate. He was the same way in college. He was very non-emotional, great leader, threw a touchdown pass, went to the sidelines, got on the phone. He's the same way now, and our players really respect that from him. And he's doing a great job leading our football team.
Who gets credit for Charles Johnson? Scott Turner for encouraging his dad, Norv Turner, to pluck him off the Browns practice squad? Rick Spielman for doing it? Or you for coaching him as long as you have?
I think A and B. I think Scott and Norv and also Rick. I'm just a byproduct of it, but those guys have done a great job of getting him here.
From the time Charles came here, I believe after week three, or week three of the NFL season from the Cleveland Browns, what's it been like working with him? Because he has been absolutely a fantastic find.
And Charles Johnson is a sponge. He's a gym rat, if you want to say that. He's here. He absorbs everything you tell him. He's done a great job of rhythm up with the rest of the football team and having a chance to get with Teddy. And we expect big things from Charles, as we do from the rest of our receivers.
George Stewart, Vikings wide receivers coach on X's and O's, presented by Xfinity. Does Charles, at this stage of his career, have a best route? Like, when you watch back all of them, is there one go-to right now?
Well, right now, the thing that Charles does extremely well is use his speed. You know, and he's beating a couple of people on go routes in terms of deep balls down the field. And that's one thing that we've emphasized over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And he's done a great job with that. Charles is capable of running every route extremely well, but if I had to say one, it's stretching the field for us.
When you're working with a rookie quarterback the way you guys have, and it's kind of the Hall & Oates of connections in the NFL, you know, you need the quarterback to make the receivers look good, but the receivers got to do the right thing to make the quarterback look good.
Right.
Through Bridgewater's early stages, it looks like it's coming together. By admission, he was missing some guys deeper down the field, guys who did what they were supposed to do correctly. That seems like it has changed. When that's the case, do you have to get with your guys and say, look, calm down, or we're going to fix it. It's going to get better. Let's just everybody relax.
Well, I think they understand that Teddy's a young player. And, of course, we have young receivers as well. And there's times that we're not at the right depth we need to be. So in terms of calming our guys down, it's just a work in progress, as I said earlier. And those guys have done a great job to rhythm up with Teddy. And Teddy's done a great job to rhythm up with our receivers.
Charles Johnson has a wonderful story. Started at Eastern Kentucky, had some off-the-field turmoil with his family and stuff, had to leave, actually worked at Olive Garden and Arby's in 2009, came back, Googled Division II football, found Grand Valley State, went to Grand Valley State, was a 7th-round pick by Green Bay. They kind of had an embarrassment of riches at the receiver spot at that time with Cobb, Nelson, and James Jones, Jermichael Finley, and so on. So, and he had some injury problems, so then he's gone. Then he ends up in Cleveland. You know, you look at Cleveland now, George, with Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron, they probably would love to have Charles Johnson in that 3-receiver set.
Well, I can't speak for Cleveland, but I'm glad he's here. And again, you mentioned Rick Spielman and North Turner. I'm so glad that those guys had opportunities to go and get Charles Johnson.
What's it been like working with Jarius Wright?
Jarius is a young man we drafted 3 years ago. And again, going back to our scouting department with Rick Spielman, I think Rick was at the A&M game that he played so well against us at Arkansas. And we drafted Jarius. Jarius has made plays here since he's been here with the Minnesota Vikings. And Jarius will continue to make more plays as we go down the road. But he's just an exceptional young player that gives us a great opportunity to make plays down the field.
What's the role of a wide receivers coach in your room watching film, say, of the Detroit Lions defense? Do you strictly look at their corners, Darius Slay, Rasheen Mathis, and the safeties, Glover Quinn and James Ehedebo and stuff?
Oddly enough, man, this is kind of par for the course, or it's a little different. But we look at their defensive linemen because the thing we say, we don't have to beat the corners. We have to beat the pass rush. And, you know, you have a lot of receivers that have false steps in the line of scrimmage. We don't want to have false steps. And obviously, we look at the defensive backs and we look at the corners, look at the safeties. But we want to do a great job of coming off the football first and foremost because those defensive linemen, they don't false step. They're coming to get our quarterback. So we have to beat those guys to the quarterback.
How's Greg Jennings getting along?
Greg Jennings is getting along great. He's an elder statesman for our football team. I mentioned this before. He's like the encyclopedia for our group. He's done a great job at leading. He scored a touchdown last week out in the end zone, and I was very happy for him against the Carolina Panthers. But he's done a great job for us in terms of leading.
Does he work well with the younger receivers? Because I've always felt when people say, you know, for instance, how much did Brett Favre work with Tavares Jackson? How much did Antoine Winfield work with Josh Robinson? I always, with all due respect, feel that's a little overrated because the veterans are in self-preservation mode. They want to keep their bodies right. They want to do everything they can to create an advantage nearing the ends of their careers. You with me on that?
Yes, I am. And Greg does a great job with our young players. We have a young guy on our practice squad named Kane Coulter from Northwestern. Mm-hmm. And Greg has taken him under his wing. And Kane is like a miniature Greg Jennings in terms of everything that Greg does in the field. Kane tries to emulate it. CP as well. Charles Johnson as well. You look at Charles, and he was with Greg in Green Bay for a short period of time, so he does a great job with all our young receivers.
It seems with Greg, when you get inside the red zone, mm-hmm. he runs his best routes. Like when he smells the end zone, right. he's every bit as good as he was 5 years ago.
Absolutely, and that's one thing about Greg. He understands red zone coverages. He understands how to get open. The best asset Greg has is his ability to anticipate, his ability to jump, and his speed. He does a great job of catching the football and trying to finish with it.
Last one, as a wide receiver, what has gone wrong with Cordarrelle Patterson this year?
Cordarrelle is a work in progress, as all our young players are, and he's working every day, Paul, to get better. And he's not by no shape, form, or fashion. I think I heard some fans say he's from the doghouse. He's not in the doghouse. This young man is working hard every day, and he's going to pay dividends for this football team. He's a great young player and will make big plays for this team in the future.
May seem like a stupid question, and if it is, then take it deep. But is everybody sure he is a wide receiver and not a running back?
He's a young player, and you got to realize that he hadn't played much receiver. He's been running back. He's been a kick returner. He's been this. But he's learning the craft, and he's learning at a pace that's unfortunate for him. He was a first-round pick. It wasn't his fault he was a first-round pick. We drafted him. Yep. But he's going to do a great job for this football team. He's learning every day. Like I say, he's a work in progress. He's still a young player, and he's going to get it.
You were here when Percy Harvin was at his very best. Norv Turner was not. Norv is a two-time Super Bowl champion who's an incredibly respected offensive coordinator. In closing, Can the Vikings offensively run the, quote, Percy plays, end quote, for Cordarrelle Patterson? Because it seems like they're cut from the same cloth.
Well, they're a little different athletes. You know, Percy is more of a running back than what Cordarrelle was. And those Percy plays that we had, Percy was a running back. Cordarrelle, I don't think, never has been a running back. Maybe in Pop Warner or smaller. But those plays are cut designed for Percy. Cordarrelle is receiver, and we're going to continue to work him that as a receiver.
George, thank you very much for the time. Best of luck this weekend against Detroit.
Thank you, P.A. Appreciate you.
George Stewart, wide receivers coach for the Minnesota Vikings. And that wraps up X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity. We invite you to join me and Paul Charchi in this Friday from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Coon Rapids for a Friday football feast presented by Miller Lite. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page at KFAN.com. And also join host Mike Musman along with Vikings defensive end Everson Griffin tomorrow night, 6 o'clock at Mama G's in Maple Grove. Everson Griffin, Mama G's, Maple Grove tomorrow night at 6. You could win great prizes, including tickets to watch the Vikings from the Miller Lite party deck. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information. We thank the producers of the show, Eric Nordquist with KFAN Radio and Jay Nelson with the Vikings Entertainment Network. And for all of us here with the Minnesota Vikings, I'm Paul Allen. Thank you for listening to X's and O's with Mike Zimmer, presented by Xfinity, all across the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.